folks, welcome back to Nadav After. This is Chris once again. Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Chris Wyatt Africa here on the 19th of May, 2021. The Ndaba Africa News of the Day. Pleasure to have you back. Herzlich willkommen bei uns. Goeiedag to everyone in South Africa. Welcome to you. How are things going around the world for everybody? I hope it's well. Let's get right to the headlines for today's news from Ndaba Africa. News of the Day, 19 May 2021. Arrests continue in Bloemfontein, the capital of the Free State in South Africa, where arrests have now reached 70 persons arrested for violence as foreign shops have now been targeted and looted as South African xenophobia rears its nasty, ugly head once again against foreigners. The child killed earlier this week on Monday by an errant shot from a 57-year-old security guard who was subsequently arrested was Giovanni Leon Segal, 14 years of age, shot dead on Monday in the violence unfolding in Bloemfontein over supposed service delivery protest, all of which are timed rather conveniently with Ace Magashule's difficulties and his challenges with the ruling African National Congress, the party from which he was removed as Secretary General recently. Shale gas discovery in the Karoo. The Minerals Minister, Gwede Mantashe, says there are as much as 390 trillion cubic feet of recoverable natural gas, shale gas, in the Karoo. Well, this bonanza, let's see where this goes and whose pockets it winds up. Speaking of Mantashe, apparently his testimony yesterday before Parliament was incorrect, in which he claimed that a survey was used, and apparently it wasn't. We'll talk more about that shortly. And Minister Stella Nabeni Abraham says that South Africa can make high-tech components. I'm wondering if she's talked to the ANC's masters in Beijing, whether they'll be permitted to produce components for electronics rather than China producing it, shipping it to Africa. So we shall see. South Africa's government is set to review the broad-based black economic empowerment rules, not to ensure that they're correct or to get rid of the racist legislation, but to strengthen them. To defraud people on the basis of race. Can you imagine this, ladies and gentlemen? Nearly 30 years after the end of apartheid, we have a government in South Africa that discriminates against people based on the color of their skin. It's almost like Bizarro World. It's like that episode of Superman where just the completely opposite is true. Have we wound up in a parallel universe? The ANC endorses racial discrimination. Wow. Unbelievable. You were supposed to be the party of liberation, not the party of suppression. Lesotho faces foreclosure for its failure to repay a contract related to water heaters around the country. And Namibia issues travel approval for a gay couple to bring their twin children back that were that were born by a surrogate in South Africa. This couple, one from Namibia, one a Mexican national, are homosexuals, which is a criminal offense in Namibia, and they were barred from bringing this couple, these two children back, the adopted children. But now they've given authority to let them to come back. And Germany has decided to pay reparations to Namibia in a boneheaded, wrongheaded, idiotic, stupid, moronic decision, which undermines sovereignty and reason. Kenya has reached a deal with the International Monetary Fund staff visit, which will allow them to secure $410 million of their $2.34 billion loan facility approved a few weeks ago. So Kenya will be drawing $410 million off this loan facility. And more news from Kenya in East Africa. Martha Karumba Kume has been appointed as Kenya's first female chief justice. CNN claims that Ethiopian troops raided a hospital in Tigray this week and an unfolding crisis in Spain's enclave in northern Africa. This bordered on all sides by Morocco and then on one side by the Mediterranean. There are 8,000 illegal aliens invading the Spanish enclave of Ceuta in North Africa. This crisis is straining relations between Morocco and Spain. And interestingly enough, usually you see a lot of black African faces, but I see a lot of Moroccan faces in this crowd trying to get out of Morocco and into Europe. And France and President Macron come out smelling like a rose as they seek to gain attention for brokering a ceasefire in the Middle East between Israel and the Palestinian Authority. France also comes out smelling like a rose with obsequious African heads of state licking Macron's boots over the table scraps that he's made available, he claims to have made available, calling on the international lending facilities to make special drawing rights available to the tune of something like $680 billion. And much of the press hails this story, and obsequious African leaders busy licking Macron's boots, but they fail to point out that just $33 billion of that money is actually for Africa. Seriously. Amazon is looking at buying MGM Studios. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer is one of the most iconic American movie studio brands, is on the marketplace, apparently, for Amazon as it scoops up yet more of the business world. And here in Pennsylvania, yesterday was election day on the 18th of May, 2021. There were four ballot constitutional amendments available for voters. And in a larger than expected turnout, but still a relatively small turnout by comparison to the general election. Last year, the general election, we saw well over 7 million Pennsylvanians vote. But now we see less than 2 million voting in this election. Significant difference. Nonetheless, two key issues which would restrain the chief executive from dictatorial fascist totalitarian rule in imposing a state of emergency without any end date, which is what Governor Tom Wolf has done to this state, destroying businesses, costing thousands of jobs, leading to depression, suicide, child abuse, molestation, gender-based violence, and a host of other ills, with no restraints and checks, despite the fact that his actions were declared unconstitutional by a federal judge. Now, the voters in the state, with nearly all the ballots in, it appears that both Constitutional Amendment 1 and Constitutional Amendment 2, which would limit his ability to, or any governor's ability to, declare a state of emergency to just 21 days, and then would require the state legislature by a simple majority to agree if it was to go longer, at least putting some power back in the hands of the people. Those have both passed here in Pennsylvania. And there you have it, folks. Those are the headlines from today, the 19th of May, 2021. Let's get to in-depth analysis and commentary on those news events unfolding across Africa and around the world. First up are the protests in Bloemfontein or Mangaung, where at least 70 have now been arrested for public violence and looting foreign-owned shops. Plus, this 14-year-old child was shot dead on Monday. Since the protest began Sunday night illegally, they were authorized on Monday but began Sunday night illegally, 70 people have been arrested. According to police, foreign-owned shops and incidents of public violence have been reported. 70 people arrested so far. Protests would start on Sunday evening. An apparent attempt to shut down Bloemfontein resulted in dozens of incidents of alleged public violence, theft, vehicle hijackings, and business robberies. Many of the looted shops, some of which were also severely damaged the past 24 hours, were foreign-owned. Police deployed in Bloemfontein to manage disruptive actions made additional arrests in the past 24 hours. The total number of people who have been arrested since shutdown protests started on Sunday evening stands at 70. We anticipate more arrests as there are shop owners still coming to report additional cases. As I mentioned, one child was killed in this. Teenager killed, shops looted during the Bloemfontein protest. How does this help anyone? This idiotic, moronic toy-toying and dancing like a bunch of idiots, burning tires. Hat voll. Look at that. They hate Afrikaans so much they use the words. Has to be relocated. What the heck is that saying? Oh, residents of Hat voll. That's the informal settlement. Sorry. It has to be relocated. Well, don't settle on places illegally. On Tuesday, May 17th, Giovanni Liam Sigel, 14, left his mother's house with his friends and joined many other Bloemfontein residents in a protest action for better service delivery. Why are you letting your 14-year-old children go to violent protest? There seems to be a parenting issue there. In Heidedal, a nearby informal settlement, Hat voll. This child did not understand what was happening, says Chrissy Mochadi, his aunt. Well then, auntie, why did you allow him to go if he didn't understand? A group of friends came over to fetch him. Next thing, I received a phone call from his cousin saying that he'd been shot. We don't know what happened. All we know is he was shot. We want answers to explain how our child was killed, but we don't know where we will get them. Well, you're not going to get them from the ANC that's allowing this violence to take place across cities in South Africa. They've gotten away with it for years because it's been falsely portrayed as a black-on-white issue, and let's be honest, very few South Africans in any position of authority give a flying flip about white South Africans. Other South Africans may care about them, black, white, and brown, but certainly not politicians. Very few politicians give a flying flip about any minorities in South Africa, and they've proven that time and again. They don't even care about black South Africans, for that matter. The majority of the population, 80%, as they steal, loot, and pilfer for their own personal benefit and assuaging their own egos in the press. Meanwhile, speaking of egos, Gwede Mantashe, the minerals minister, has announced that there's been a massive discovery of Shale gas in the Karoo. Well, I predicted this a long time ago. The Karoo seemed a likely place based on its topography and its geology to be a very likely place to find these sort of deposits. Knowing the geological history of the planet kind of helps people figure this out. But meanwhile, 390 trillion cubic feet of shale gas. Wow, that's a lot. Who's going to get all that money? Mineral Resources Energy Minister Guede Mantashe says that his department has discovered pockets of shale gas in the Karoo Basin. Previous estimates predicted South Africa could have as much as 390 trillion cubic feet of technically recoverable natural gas. Presenting his budget speech on Tuesday, Mantashe said that his discovery comes after the department began drilling a 3.5 kilometer stratigraphic hole in September of 2020 in attempts to detect the gas. I'm pleased to share with this house that as of yesterday, we have drilled to a depth of 2,750 meters. The first pocket of gas was intercepted at 1734 and a further substantial amount intercepted at 2,467 meters, spanning a depth of 55 meters. To date, a total of 34 gas samples have been bottled in canisters and taken to one of our laboratories for analysis. And there you see the Karoo Basin, which covers a lot of South Africa, folks. The actual area known as the Karoo is not that entire space. Obviously, that takes in parts of Mpumalanga, of Gauteng, the entire Free State, the Eastern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, and of course the Western Cape. The Karoo is a portion of it. That is what is known as the Karoo Basin, where this natural gas deposit has been found. Massive amount of natural gas. Burns far cleaner than petroleum. But will South Africa use this for its crippled patronage machine known as Eskom to deliver electricity to electricity-hungry South Africans? We shall see. Speaking of that presentation before Parliament, Guede Mantashe apparently misspoke or had wrong information. Perhaps someone briefed the minister. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe someone just briefed him incorrectly. But what happened? He said that a survey was done of 10,000. Now says the survey of 10,000 didn't happen with regard to embedded generation. The proposed 10-megawatt threshold for power generation, based on the public minister's comments, not a survey, according to the minister, based on comments. The Department of Mineral Resources and Energy issued a statement on Wednesday saying it had not conducted a survey to determine where the licensing threshold for embedded generation should be set, but it received public comments to this effect. In April, Mantashe proposed setting the threshold at 10 megawatts, meaning anyone who wanted to build a bigger private generation facility would need to apply for a license from the National Energy Regulator of South Africa so that they could steal money and you pay bribes. Organized Business and Minerals Council, SA, had lobbied for a threshold to be set at 50 megawatts. The proposal, in the form of an amendment to the Electricity Regulation Act, is open for public comment. In his budget speech in Parliament on Tuesday, Mantashe made the surprising claim that this decision had been determined through a survey of 10,000 people. But the thing is, there was no survey, ladies and gentlemen. So was Guede Mantashe mistaken? Deceptive? What's going on here? Probably just poorly informed. Meanwhile, South Africa intends to make electronic components. Apparently, the economy has the capacity to do this, according to the minister. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. The Communications and Digital Technologies Minister, Stella Nabeni-Abrahams, says that the sourcing of locally manufactured products remains a key priority focus. This is the same country that cannot deliver flush toilets to primary school children or textbooks to black South Africans, keeping them stupid, uneducated, and illiterate, intentionally. Presenting her annual budget on Tuesday, Nabeni-Abrahams said that her department, together with industry, has now identified a number of products that can be produced locally. Really, you need a government to tell you that you can manufacture mobile phones and accessories, manufacturing of components for infrastructure, 5G network expansion, sensors and telematics, which includes LIDAR, that's light-emitting radar, smart meters for water and electricity, and other tracking applications, satellites, and drone components. As part of the implementation of these programs, the department is working with the Department of Trade, Industry, and Competition. Ooh, that would be Ibrahim Patel's feckless ministry. To facilitate the establishment and operationalization of an ICT special economic... Ah! Yet another corrupt, hidden special zone like they've given to the Chinese, where no one's allowed to go but Chinese. To date, a suitable land has been identified where this special zone will be situated. Yeah, the technology sector has been a key factor in helping South Africa's post-pandemic recovery and as a job creator. What post-pandemic? Is she smoking crack? South Africa's not in a post-pandemic recovery. South Africa's in a downward spiral from useless government decision-making during the pandemic and also from the impact of the pandemic. Recovery. What recovery? What planet is she on? Stella is, you know, comes from star, from Latin. Is her head in the stars? Shall we rename her Stella, or should we name her Naledi Nabeni-Abrahams? Let's call her Naledi, which of course is the Tswana word for star. Anyway, folks, wow, that's just unbelievable. A country that cannot feed its own citizens, a country that cannot deliver electricity to its own people, intends to be a satellite component manufacturer. Now, South Africa has this capability, but its racist policies and its feckless governance is preventing South Africa from flourishing, not to mention the existence of monopolies and oligarchs throughout all sectors of the economy, banking, defense, finance, industrial products, retail, all small numbers of large holding companies running everything. The government intends to take a closer look at broad-based black economic empowerment. Well, thank goodness for that. The Trade and Industry Minister, Ibrahim Patel, wow, he is alive, says that more needs to be done to promote black industrialists and small business in South Africa. Why? Why would anybody start a small business in South Africa when your focus is on race? I think it's a fair question, Ibrahim. And where have you been hiding for the past several months? Your name hasn't been mentioned, as your failed policy recommendations during the pandemic have cost millions of jobs and billions of wealth. Presenting his departmental budget speech on Tuesday, he said that the government will now look at reviewing or enforcing black economic empowerment regulations to improve outcomes. Though we've made progress with broad-based black economic empowerment, it is clear that we need to bring greater rigor and credibility to BEE statistics and practices and ensure that claims made by firms in their BEE reports are verified. What exactly does that mean? More rigor. Are you going to actually confirm that your racist legislation is benefiting only people based on their skin color? Are you implying that there are people who cheat the system and your system is imperfect? How about you just scrap your race-based legislation and allow South Africans of all ethnicities and races to prosper in South Africa instead of intentionally retarding the development of people and hindering the progress of others? Meanwhile, Lesotho is not having a good day. Lesotho faces foreclosure from a foreign entity. Lesotho may see global assets seized after contract breach. Faces having 50 million euros or $61 million of its assets seized around the world after breaching the terms of a contract with Fraser Solar GmbH, which is a German company. Fraser Solar, which began legal action against the Southern African nation in 2019 after what it said were a series of contractual breaches, won an arbitration proceeding in South Africa in which it was awarded the damages, the company said in a statement on Tuesday. A global enforcement action has now been filed in the District of Columbia in the U.S. Fraser signed an agreement in 2018 with Lesotho to provide as many as 40,000 solar water heating systems, 20 megawatts of solar photovoltaic capacity, 1 million LED lights, and 350,000 solar lanterns. The company said while an assessment of the damages incurred amounted to 102 million euros, it was awarded 50 million euros. While the German government agreed to finance the program, the Lesotho Finance Ministry failed to execute the project's financial arrangement, and the government hasn't engaged with the legal process. The government of Lesotho and Maseru had no comment on a request for comment. Well, that's not good. You see what happens when countries that have no money enter into agreements? Meanwhile, in a very controversial situation in Namibia, a homosexual couple has been allowed to bring their adopted twins back to Namibia. Children born through a surrogate in South Africa to a Namibian national and his partner from Mexico are now allowed. This controversy has been playing out for several weeks. I've not discussed it because it wasn't really relevant or germane to any world news. But now that they've allowed this, it may set a precedent in a country where homosexuality is criminalized. In Namibia, as it is in most African countries. Last month, the Windhoek court threw out a bid by a couple, 38-year-old Philip Liu and his Mexican husband, Guillermo Delgado, 36, to force the government to issue the documents. But a fresh court application money saw the government backtrack. Namibia said Tuesday it issued travel documents to twin infants of a gay couple born to a South African surrogate mother after weeks of legal wrangling. Last month, the court threw out a bid. The government said it received the applications for the travel certificates at a time when there was a change of guard in the Home Ministry. The new minister, Albert Kwana, studied the earlier court documents and authorized the issuance of emergency travel certificates applied for, ministry stated. This is a very positive step forward, one of the fathers said, Lul. We are, of course, happy, but also at the same time perplexed that it takes such an immense amount of fighting resources and emotional strain to get a simple bureaucratic decision taken. Twins were born in Durban on the 13th of March and have been living in Johannesburg. Of course, homosexuality is illegal in Namibia, dating back to a 1927 sodomy law. Namibia's Home Ministry has refused to recognize the couple's December 2014 marriage in South Africa because gay marriage is not legal in Namibia. Here's a picture of the father, one of the fathers, with one of the infants. In a bizarre, idiotic move by a leftist government, which purportedly is a right government, but it's not, in Germany, has decided to pay for the crimes of people long since dead from a government four different countries ago, a country that no longer exists. The German Empire no longer exists. It's been dismembered. Königsberg is Kaliningrad. Ostpreußen is part of Russia and Poland. The Baltic Germans no longer live in the Baltics. Pomerania is part of Poland now. Silesia is part of Poland now. Poznan is part of Poland. The Sudetenland no longer exists. It's part of the Czech Republic. Well, the German Empire does not exist. The people responsible for the genocide, the conflict with the Hereros, well, the Hereros are responsible for it. They're the ones that unprovoked attacked 340-plus German settlers, killing men, women, and children in their homes. The Hereros started the conflict in a preemptive action, hoping it would frighten the Germans off. Well, they were gravely mistaken. The German Empire was not going to cotton to that sort of unprovoked attack, and then started a war against them, which led to a genocide under General von Trotha. Well, that was over 100 years ago, nearly 120 years ago. Not a single person on this planet is alive from then. Not a single person even remotely complicit in those crimes alive, and not a single victim from those atrocities is alive or their offspring. It's absolutely ludicrous. The German Empire was disbanded in 1918, followed by the Weimar Republic, which was disbanded when the Nazis, the National Socialists, took power in 1933. The National Socialists lost the Second World War in a horrific conflagration. That government went away. In 1949, the Federal Republic, the Bundesrepublik Deutschland, was formed from the rump of what used to be the German Empire with the Western states. Middle part of Germany, which was later called East Germany in an ironic twist because it's not East Germany, it's Mitteldeutschland, Middle Germany, later merged after the end of the Cold War. But Germany is still missing fully one-third of its territory. Four different governments, 120 years later, these people bear no responsibility for what happened back then. The Germans have been giving billions of dollars of aid and assistance and grants and concession loans and technical support to Namibia since its independence. Yet now they're going to set a precedent by paying reparations. No such thing as reparations. Unless you committed the crime, it's not a reparation. It's blackmail. It's extortion. Simple as that. This won't end the situation, folks. There'll be more demands. And those demands will go beyond Germany. The conflict between the Herero and the Germans was a conflict. It was a war. The outcome doesn't attach blame to people five generations removed from those events. Idiotic nonsense. Meanwhile, in Kenya has gotten access to $410 million of the $2.34 billion loan facility that the IMF has made available to them. So they will now draw that $410 million, which is desperately needed for Kenya's flailing economy in the midst of the pandemic. In addition, in Kenya news from East Africa, the first ever female chief justice has been appointed by President Kenyatta. President Kenyatta appoints Martha Koome as Kenya's first female chief justice. Martha Karambu Koome. On the 27th of April, Kenya's Judicial Service Commission nominated her to become the country's chief justice. After lengthy deliberations and careful consideration of the performance of various candidates, the Judicial Services Commission has unanimously recommended the appointment of the Honorable Koome Martha Karambu as the Chief Justice of Republic of Kenya and submit her name to the President. She succeeds Justice David Maraga, who retired back in December 2020. So congratulations to Chief Justice Koome as she goes into office in Kenya as Kenya's first female Chief Justice, one of the few around the world. Well, CNN reports that Ethiopian troops entered a hospital this past week in Tigray, raided the hospital in the latest episode of violence in the war-torn region of northern Ethiopia. Ethiopian soldiers armed with machine guns, sniper rifles, grenades raided a hospital in Ethiopia's war-torn northern Tigray region earlier this week in retribution, doctors say, for a CNN investigation that revealed Ethiopian and Eritrean troops were blocking humanitarian aid to patients. Troops returned again on Monday after some medical staff and patients fled, searching for people they accused of tarnishing the country's image in news reports, doctors speaking on a condition of anonymity told CNN. Soldiers demand a list of names of doctors who will not cooperate with the military's investigation into the hospital. A very disturbing development in Ethiopia. Meanwhile, Spain, which has a couple of enclaves or enclaves in northern Africa, surrounded by Morocco and the Mediterranean, saw 8,000 criminal alien invaders flood into their territory in a dispute now with Morocco, which apparently is not doing enough according to Spain. A diplomatic rift has deepened between Spain and Morocco after thousands of undocumented migrants, those are illegal criminal invaders, attempt to enter Spanish territory in the northern African country. Spain has been left scrambling to secure its borders after thousands of illegal aliens entered Ceuta, one of two Spanish enclaves situated on the northern coast of Morocco this week. Spanish police tries to disperse migrants at the border, criminal alien invaders. There you go. Wow. that's a big development there in North Africa. But this happens frequently. But 8,000 at one time, that is significant. Meanwhile, France's President Emmanuel Macron is getting plaudits and accolades for his effort to broker peace between the Palestinian Authority, Hamas, and Israel. Congratulations to Macron. How about you broker peace in Mali? The latest, France seeks UN Security Council resolution about events. China's UN ambassador says France is seeking the UN Security Council resolution calling for a ceasefire between Israel and Palestinian militants who control Gaza. Zhang Jun, the current council president, confirmed that France's UN ambassador Nicolas de Riviere informed the council during a third round of closed consultations on Tuesday that on the conflict that a resolution was being prepared. The United States has blocked the UN's Security Council from issuing comments on the issue. So Macron, like his well-accomplished and practiced French predecessors, such as de Gaulle and Mitterrand, is looking to garner attention and accolades from himself by denigrating the United States. Much more complicated situation than Macron is making it out to be. Speaking of Macron, wow, he is such a wonderful man. Thank you, dear Emmanuel. Thank you so much for what you're doing for Africa. Wrong. The false stories coming in now with only partial truth are being reported breathlessly by all sorts of media outlets in Africa and around the world. But Al Jazeera is one outlet that actually tells the truth about what has happened in this meeting in Paris. France and African leaders push to redirect $100 billion in IMF special drawing rights reserves by October. Look at that lovely photo. President Emmanuel Macron and his wife Brigitte welcome Angolan President Yao Lourenço and his wife for dinner with leaders of African states and international organizations on the eve of a summit on aid for Africa. Why are we talking about aid for Africa? Why does Africa still need aid? The Daily Maverick also says that France is among nations to triple Africa's share of new IMF funding. Well, France can't do that. France doesn't own the IMF. France can call for the IMF to do that, but it can't do that. And so this is a very misleading title. Now, this story is not from the Daily Maverick. It's from Bloomberg, but under license there. So France has called on other rich nations to follow its example and commit to reallocating part of their International Monetary Fund's special drawing rights to Africa. So they're giving their special drawing rights away to Africa. That's interesting. Who will repay the IMF when African nations fail to repay? The IMF will collapse as a consequence of this unless it receives a cash injection from the always overly generous Western donors. Now, this Daily Maverick story from Bloomberg does tell the truth after the misleading title. According to this and Al Jazeera, also, Africa's earmarked to receive $33 billion out of an injection, $650 billion the IMF is preparing to give out to its member countries later this year. The collective effort is underway to boost the amount to $100 billion, President Emmanuel Macron says in a live stream conference. We decided to work together over the next few weeks to reach a political agreement by October. Yeah, okay. All right, we'll see. $33 billion, not $650 billion, which is what people are led to believe. As I mentioned, the obsequious African leaders are kowtowing. During a press conference, President Macky Sall of Senegal and President Félix Tshisekedi of the Democratic Republic of Congo thanked Macron several times during the live press briefing, cordially referring to the French leader by his first name, Dear Emmanuel. His Excellency President Ramaphosa arrives at the Grand Palais Ephemeris for the summit for the financing of African economies. The meeting is looking at actions that will help boost a strong and inclusive recovery on the African continent. Oh, I thought we were busy with vaccine apartheid. Who has time for special drawing rights? Please, sir, more soup. Please help the Global South. We've wasted all the aid for 70 years with corrupt, venal politicians. It's all been pissed down the drain. You're a racist. Give us more money. Give us money, racist. Al Jazeera accurately reports what's going on here and doesn't put it in special terms. Macron told the news conference that several rich countries agreed to turn their share of the SDRs over to African countries because $33 billion was too little, hoping that voluntary contributions could boost the African share to $100 billion, to which the IMF could add some of its gold reserves. Ah, now you can give away your gold. Ah, okay. All right, let's see. Africa's one of the largest gold-producing regions in the world, and you're going to give away gold to people who produce lots of gold. Yeah, okay. Thank you very much for that one. Yeah, this constant beggary is ridiculous. Either stand on your own 2 feet or don't. Meanwhile, ladies and gentlemen, Amazon is apparently in talks to purchase Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Studios. That is a big development. Amazon reportedly talks to buy MGM as streaming wars intensify. Amazon reported in talks to buy MGM, the vaunted film studio that was a staple of Hollywood's golden age. A tie-up would give the big tech a big brand to wield as competition in streaming grows fiercer by the day. MGM's iconic logo of a roaring lion has played before tons of classic films, including the James Bond series. The studio could be valued between $7 and $10 billion, according to the information, which cited a person familiar with the situation. Amazon did not respond to requests for information from CNN Business. The deal has been touted for a while, but reports have circled for years that Amazon wanted to buy a big entertainment property to bolster its streaming service. And there you have it, folks. There you have it. And finally, here in Pennsylvania, election results are in for Pennsylvania. This is the unofficial tally. Let me update it and see if there's been any change with over three quarters of the ballots counted. These are the unofficial returns as of today for yesterday's election. Not focusing on those, but focus on these issues. Proposed Constitutional Amendment 1, termination or extension of disaster emergency declaration, which will prevent the chief executive of the state from declaring a disaster more than 21 days, constraining their authority, thankfully. Currently, 53.71% vote for the amendment, 46.29% against the amendment, with about 2 million votes cast. In the second Constitutional Amendment, disaster emergency declaration and management, almost exactly the same at 53.69 to 46.34. And the vote total is 1,091,000 versus 941,000. So significant difference in both those. That's almost a slam dunk in modern elections, over 53%. Not really that big a difference, but it's sufficient to constrain the chief executive. The other two constitutional amendments were one that would bar denial or abridgment of the equality of rights because of race or ethnicity. Ethnicity is the new piece that's added in. This wasn't part of Pennsylvania's common constitution. It will be now, with over two-thirds of the population voting for the amendment. And a statewide referendum would allow local emergency services first responders to make loans to borrow money to purchase equipment to do training. That won decisively too, with the highest percentage, 72% of those who voted, which was almost 2 million votes once again. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Those are the news and headlines with some analysis and insight from across Africa and a little bit here in the States and around the world. Thank you for your time, your patronage here on Indaba African News of the Day, the 19th of May, 2021.